nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Robert Schuller said, "Spectacular success is always preceded by unspectacular preparation." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who prepare for their success. Our first playmaker once turned a severance package agreement into a permanent position, while our second playmaker is responsible for the local sale of some of the most famous cookies in the world. With us today is the region president of the nation's largest, most reliable wireless network, while our next playmaker is developing a center of excellence for girls in South Dallas. His great playmakers are Michelle Miller. Michelle is region president of the Central Texas region of Verizon Wireless. And Jennifer Bartkowski. Jennifer is CEO of Girl Scouts of Northeast Texas. And we're going to begin today's show with Jennifer. Jennifer is serving as a CEO of Girl Scouts of Northeast Texas and has been with them since 2009 when she joined the council as chief development officer. During her tenure, Girl Scouts of Northeast Texas has seen significant growth in its annual and capital fundraising campaigns. As chief operating officer, she had a focus on innovation to new programming initiatives, mission delivery, and the Girl Scouts cookie program for the 32-county organization. Most recently, Jennifer has been leading a $13 million effort to transform a current 100-acre property in South Dallas into a STEM Center of Excellence for Girls Northeast Texas. We're going to talk about that. But again, Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here also. Now, your background is interesting because you received your Master's of Public Administration, nonprofit, especially from Texas A&M.
Yes.
How did an English and poli-sci major get into the nonprofit sector?
That's a great question. Well, I grew up as a Girl Scout. I was a Girl Scout through ninth grade and got my Silver Award. And when I went to college at Texas A&M, I joined an organization called Alpha Phi Omega, which actually has its foundings with the Boy Scouts. So I've been involved in scouting a long time. And I got my English and political science degree, and I knew I was going to have to do something more to get the job that I really wanted. And I discovered that someone would pay me to make the world a better place. If I went out and found volunteers and did projects and did community service, there was actually a job for that.
And this is still working with the sorority.
Yeah, it's actually a co-ed fraternity. Okay. And yes, so I found that out. I talked to some of my advisors in the English Political Science Department. They suggested I get my master's in public administration. I created my own specialty in nonprofit management just before the Bush School opened at Texas A&M, and then the rest is history.
So this sounds like it was in your mind all the way through your time in Girl Scouts, the time you got into college.
Well, I always had a background in community service, and I always wanted to do good for the community. But actually, I always wanted to be an attorney until I discovered that there was an opportunity for me to, you know, lead organizations and lead people and connect them to what they want to do well in the community.
Well, you've been with the Girl Scouts for a few years. How did you get to the Girl Scouts in Northeast Texas?
Well, my first job out of college was with the American Lung Association of Texas, and I did both fundraising and programs. And I discovered very quickly that fundraising was my passion. I loved connecting people and passions. And so from there, I went on to work for the United Way of Capital Area in Austin, Texas, and then did some other things, ended up at United Way of Metropolitan Dallas in Dallas. I was the senior vice president for workplace campaigns. I was raising $50 million a year for our community, and discovered there was a real opportunity at the Girl Scouts to do something transformational for the movement and to really leave a legacy for girls. And I just thought I couldn't pass that up.
So you realized that sales really was where it was all about, and getting all that money together.
That's right.
Well, and speaking prior to the show starting, you said there's over 100 councils for Girl Scouts in the United States. Talk about the Northeast Texas Council. What makes you different and what makes you special compared to some of the other councils?
Oh, we are special here. We are Girl Scouts of Northeast Texas is 32 counties, 23,000 square miles. We're from DFW Airport all the way to Louisiana, up to Oklahoma and down to north of Waco. We serve 30,000 girls, 17,000 adult members. I think what makes us unique within the movement is we're one of the largest councils across the country, and we are one of the most innovative councils in the country. So we're focused as a movement in really transforming the volunteers' experience and the girls' experience. And one of the ways we're doing that is by implementing new technology, a customer relationship management system. And it was actually piloted here in Dallas August 14th of this year. So we're at the very beginning of it. And I'm very, very proud of our team and our board of directors for being so innovative. We're taking risks. We're trying to do things different to make sure Girl Scouts continues to be relevant.
Well, we are, again, we're talking ahead of time. I was going to ask the question about how do you get girls to get into the Girl Scouts? But we also talked about volunteers and getting some of those parents involved. That seems like it's the effort now. It's the push to focus on the parents and to bring the girls in.
That's right. So our focus, most of our new girls come in from kindergarten through fifth grade. And the number one thing they want, it's not leadership skills. They want to have fun. And so we focus on making sure the programming is fun. But the fact is we serve 30,000 girls and my 92 staff cannot serve all those girls on their own. So we are very focused on getting the volunteer recruited first. And so what we learned about 18 months ago through some very in-depth strategic planning was that the volunteer experience wasn't meeting expectations. And so we started a transformation over the last 18 months to really change the volunteer experience. And I'm very proud of what we're done. We're in the muddy middle. We're not all the way there. But it's a transformation that will actually impact the entire movement.
Any adult is available to become a volunteer. They don't have to necessarily have girls or children at all.
No, absolutely not. This is a great way. I mean, I honestly believe if you want to change a community, you need to invest in girls. And we need all kinds of investment. We need dollars. We need all kinds of things. But most of all, we need time. And so we look, a lot of our volunteers are the moms who want to spend time with their daughters. But more and more, our volunteers are young professionals who want to engage with girls, who want to help girls get leadership experiences and help them move ahead. So we're thrilled to have them. We also have male volunteers, and we're very happy to have men step in and join us as Girl Scouts, because they absolutely can be Girl Scouts too.
Well, as we were talking at a time, I didn't get to be a Boy Scout when I was a kid, and I got to do that when my son was, and I was an adult leader, and through osmosis, I got to be a Scout. But it's a great learning experience for adults, and even though those girls want to have fun, they're learning leadership as they're having fun. So you have special programs to help them do that.
We do. In fact, everything we do is based on the Girl Scout leadership experience. And we teach 15 national outcomes around teamwork and sense of self, confidence, how to seek challenge, how to work with diverse populations, how to empower yourself and others. There's lots of things we're teaching girls that they don't get in the school. They may not get in their family. They may not get anywhere else. And so they're really important skills that we want for the girls. All of our Girl Scout leadership experience in Northeast Texas is focused on four pillars. So science, technology, engineering, and math is very important. That's where many of the jobs of the future are, and we need to make sure our girls are ready for them. Financial literacy, which, of course, we have the internationally famous cookie program. Healthy living, which is so important, healthy relationships in particular, and finally, outdoor leadership. So all of our programs are really focused on those four key areas.
Yeah, cookies are the what people think about when thinking about the Girl Scouts. My son sold popcorn. That was the big thing.
Cookies are better.
Cookies are much better, and they're much more popular. But one of the things he learned, which I'm sure the girls do, is learning how to go out and ask the questions and become a salesperson and also be a leader, too, because that's really what they're doing.
It really is. And one of my favorite stories about that is my own daughter is 11, and when she started out as a Daisy, she was 5 years old, and she was selling cookies, and it was 10 minutes, and she was ready to go to the bathroom, had to have a snack and get a glass of water, and I could not keep her focused. But today, I've watched her over the course of 5 years really develop, and this year, we sat at the cookie booth, and you know, I'm CEO of Girl Scouts, so I talk to everybody. And she literally was like, "Stop talking, Mom. This is my booth." She manages the financial part. She makes the ask. She answers the hard questions. She set everything up. And that is about what we're all about, which is girl led. And over the course of those years, she learned to be girl led, to take the responsibility for the finances and to make decisions and to set goals. And she understands business ethics. And all of that comes from the cookie program. And I promise you, she's not learning that at school.
Well, I'm learning, I'm working, doing some pro bono work with kids in junior high schools and helping them learn success skills. And you're right, they don't get that in school. They're not taught that. They want experts to come in. And here's a great chance for these kids to get involved with the Girl Scouts and really learn these skills ahead of time.
Absolutely. And we really think of ourselves as a complement to the school environment, especially for girls. And girls in particular, you know, they're backing away from hard things, science and math, around fourth and fifth grade. And Girl Scouts gives a safe environment where they can practice science and math and really do it hands-on in the way that they like to learn. And we teach them how to seek challenges and how to do it in an environment that they can be successful in. Research actually shows, national research shows, that our girls are doing better in school. They have better academic behaviors. And so I go out and talk to superintendents all the time about the complement we can be for the academic environment.
And that's where you find the girls, too, through the school system. Yes. You have to work closely with them. Well, you have a Women of Distinction luncheon coming up.
We
do. That's coming up next month. talk about that. Tell the listeners what they need to do or how to get involved with that.
Sure. Every year we have a wonderful event in the fall called our Women of Distinction Luncheon, and this one is on November 19th. We are honoring two amazing women from the community, Jean Jones, a great philanthropist and member of our community, as well as Nancy Ann Hunt, who is a scout going back all the way to her birth, I think, as a Girl Scout and a Boy Scout. We also honor two fantastic Gold Award recipients, which is the equivalent of the Eagle Scout. And we have a great speaker, Allison Levine, who is a great adventurer, has climbed all seven of the highest mountains and skied to the South and the North Pole. Amazing leadership story that she has to tell. This is both a fundraiser for us, but it's also a great time for us to tell our story. And as you said, people think of cookies, camps, and crafts when they think of Girl Scouts, and we're really about leadership development for girls. And so we love to have, you know, we have more than 1,000 friends come out and have great sponsors. And if anyone wants to attend, they're welcome to visit our website at gsnetx.org.
And I'll ask you about that website again so they get that. But you also have something going on in South Dallas. It's a big push for you, and I see this is a major push for the Girl Scouts. Talk about the STEM Center of Excellence.
Sure. So this is something unique to our council, something that's very unique actually to the entire movement. We have four camps across our council, and we looked at Camp Whispering Cedars, which we've had in our hands since 1927, and saw a real opportunity to transform it into a STEM Center of Excellence, a living laboratory where girls can do hands-on activities to learn about careers in science, technology, engineering, and math. For our kindergarten through fifth graders, it's a place where their leaders can come and really make science and math come alive, which is important because a lot of our leaders are a little bit intimidated by science and math, but our national curriculum allows them to make it come alive for the girls. And then for 6th to 12th graders, it's a place where we can do immersive workshops with professionals from the Dallas area. We're in the middle of a $13 million capital campaign. We've raised about $5 million. We're going to be we are actually digging dirt as we speak, and we'll have our first two buildings built by May, and the rest will be built out in the next 2 years. But it will be a national attraction for girls, and I think it will start to transform the pipeline we have for girls in STEM.
Based on your background and fundraising and your passion for what you're doing, I have no doubt that you'll easily go over $13 million. But I do need to ask you one question before we're done, and that's about the most important piece, and that's the Girl Scout cookies. What's new? What's upcoming for the cookie season?
We have two new cookies this year. We have the Rah Rah Raisin, which is a oatmeal raisin cookie with Greek yogurt chips in it.
And you're making this more difficult. You keep coming up more.
Yes,
flavors.
You'll have to buy them. They're delicious. But new to us this year, which we're very excited about, is a gluten-free cookie, the Toffee Tastic, and it's actually delicious, and people are going to love it. Our cookie program starts in January, so please come out and support the Girl Scouts.
Well, with the gluten-free, you're opening up a whole new audience that hasn't purchased cookies from you in the past, and it sounds like they're good enough for anybody, whether they need gluten-free or not.
Yes, well, I think whether you like gluten-free or you like the Thin Mint, which has gone vegan, or the Samoa, which is having its 40th anniversary this year, there's something for everybody.
That's fantastic. Well, tell them one more time how to get a hold of you or Girl Scouts and your website.
Sure, our website is gsnetx.org, and we'd love to hear from you.
Jennifer, thank you very much for being guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Jennifer Bartkowski is CEO of Girl Scouts of North Texas. And again, as she mentioned, the website is gsnetx.org. You can get all the information about Girl Scouts of Northeast Texas. We're going to take a short break, but don't go away. We have more. We're going to speak with the region president of the Central Texas region of Verizon Wireless. Her name is Michelle Miller. You want to hear that interview? We'll be back right after this.
Cybersecurity is all over the news. Playmakers Talk Show and 770 KAAM listeners are invited to join former Secretary of Defense Gordon England, Lieutenant General Harry Radigy, and nine of our nation's top cybersecurity leaders at the 14th Annual State of Technology Summit on November 11th. This Dallas Regional Chamber Luncheon is co-hosted by the America's Future Series at the Sheraton Dallas Hotel. Our listeners receive special 50% discounted pricing and should register at the member rate. Please visit www.dallaschamber.org/events for more information.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We have another great interview with the region president of Central Texas region for Verizon Wireless. Her name is Michelle Miller. Again, she's president of the Central Texas region, the largest wireless company in the United States, Verizon Wireless. She's responsible for directing sales, marketing, operations, and financial performance within the region. Verizon Wireless operates the nation's largest 4G LTE network. Now, Michelle has 16 years of wireless experience with Verizon Wireless and its legacy companies. Prior to her current role as region president, Michelle served as Vice President of Custom Integrated Solutions, where she was responsible for wholesale services and operations across the entire company. She also served as Director of Retail Sales for Verizon's Georgia-Alabama region, where she led more than 1,500 employees and oversaw sales in over 90 company-owned locations across the states of Georgia and Alabama. Michelle, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Well, you've been with Verizon Wireless for more than 16 years, but how did a BS in kinesiology at the University of Colorado get you to Verizon Wireless? And tell us what kinesiology is.
Absolutely. So I get this question often. It's definitely interesting. Kinesiology is exercise, physiology, and nutrition. And it was the major that I declared when I went to school because I wanted to go into pre-med. So I had these high hopes of being a doctor, emergency room doctor to be exact. And I grew up in a small town in Colorado, so going to a university and being a doctor was a big deal for me. So I graduated with a kinesiology degree and realized that it was going to be a while before I could go to med school. Also realized I needed to pay back student loans that come with putting yourself through college.
Right.
And therefore, I started out and started with Jenny Craig at my first job, actually, out of college. And that didn't work out. And this is where it gets interesting. I needed to pay rent and needed to pay those student loans, and therefore was looking for a job, was offered this temp position in a call center, answering phones for a wireless company.
And here you are, the region president.
And
you start out in a call center. That's amazing.
Temp in a call center.
A temp, not even a permanent position.
Correct. And, you know, this is a question I tell my new hires. I speak to every new hire class that we hire. And I tell every new hire that comes in, this is a great opportunity to be a part of a great company where you could start out in a call center and be the regional president 16 years later. So it's been quite the journey, very exciting, not what I initially intended to do. But, you know, I like to see the balance between what I wanted to do from kinesiology, which was help people, definitely from a fast-paced in the emergency room where it's always diverse, it's always changing, nothing is ever the same. And I also just kind of describe technology with Verizon Wireless because it's very fast-paced. Nothing's the same. I don't know what we're going to sell next year. I know it's going to be the latest and greatest and innovative technology. But that's what's really kept me here for 16 years.
Well, it's interesting that you can now say this to new hires and they can now see a future. They realize there's potential. If you could do it, they can do it. The question I need to ask you is because you were so interested in wellness, do you still practice that yourself?
I do. I'm wearing my Fitbit accessory that you could purchase at our stores, tracking my exercise for the day. But it is something that you look at where technology is and where it's continuing to go from an innovative standpoint. And it's just really exciting to know that that's part of what we provide as well. We're not just a company where you pick up the phone and make a phone call. Technology and the solutions that we provide at Verizon Wireless are just amazing and continue to get better every single day.
Well, you are one of, you said a number of regions for Verizon Wireless. So this is your region, which covers, you said, how many thousand square feet?
Right.
So or miles, rather?
There's 21 regions across Verizon Wireless, and I have the Central Texas region, which covers 250,000 square miles, 18.8 million covered POPs. And that's, you look at my region, it's all of Texas except for Houston. My peer has the Houston market. And then I also cover northern Louisiana. So definitely a lot of miles covered, a lot of miles as well on the airlines and traveling around to see all the employees take care of our customers.
Again, a lot of travel. Well, you've been with Verizon Wireless for 16 years. Your leadership style has apparently evolved being with Verizon, but you have an interesting leadership style, kind of a collaborative culture, I understand. Talk about your style of leadership and how you work with your employees.
Absolutely. I think when you look back at where I started, it's one of those things that I'm very humbled that I never forget where I started with the company and throughout. I've had 12 positions in 16 years.
Wow.
And so therefore, it's something that I'm constantly making sure that I'm back in the front line with the employees and really making sure that we're getting their feedback to continue to make things better, both for our customers as well as for our employees. So absolutely, my leadership style is more hands-on, right side by side with the team, regardless of position in the company.
Well, what kind of challenges do you face as region president? Because you watch TV and you're seeing all the commercials for all the cell phone companies. It's extremely competitive. What are the challenges you face in your region?
You know, it is technology and it's changing every single day. And there's a lot of things going out in the market with competition. But for us, it's really about a matter of focusing in on what's the most important thing, which is delivering that customer experience that we're known for. And that, you know, whether it's our network, whether it's our employees in the stores, whether it's the employees that you're calling as you call into customer service, it's all about making sure that we're making a difference and enriching people's lives with the technology that we provide.
Well, it's interesting you said the customer experience, because any cell phone company can provide, or a wireless company can provide, a phone and let you make a call. But it's the experience I'm getting as a customer, and I'm a Verizon Wireless customer, and it's that experience that keeps customers coming back to you. But you are one of the youngest regional presidents in Verizon Wireless history. What are some of the playmaking moves that you've made in your life in those 16 years that kind of led up to your success?
You know, a big one for me, and I talk about this as well when I'm talking to development classes or new hires, is I've moved with the company 3 times. And talk about putting yourself into some uncomfortable situations when you pack up and leave. Again, I was born and raised in Colorado, a small town in Colorado. So to pack up and leave and move to Irvine, California,
that
was a huge move from a personal standpoint. But professionally, the best thing I'd ever did in really putting myself in an uncomfortable situation where I just grew tremendously in the 12 months I was there, so much so that after 12 months, I said, sure, let's move to Atlanta, Georgia. And then I moved again to Atlanta, Georgia. Again, an opportunity to just raise my game even higher with learning from a different market, a different area of the country. And then 5 years later, moved to Dallas. So it's been a very exciting run for me, but absolutely a big move has been moving across the country.
Well, you seem like you adapt very well, or you wouldn't have gotten to where you are. Even though it might have been difficult for you, you didn't let people know that, and you adapted to what you're doing. Well, you have had a lot of success really in a short period of time. You're one of the youngest region presidents. What advice would you give other people? And I'm sure this is something you tell your new hires too, but what advice would you give those just starting out in their careers in terms of getting to where they want to go?
I think there's 2 things that I say repeatedly. One is you have to set goals. So you have to be driven on where you want to go. Therefore, when you get there, you can set another goal, right? So you're definitely having goals. But I think the other thing that's important is knowing that it's within you with where you want to go. No one can tell you can or you can't. You're the only one that can determine that. And it's something that has really powered me throughout. I've been told no several times throughout my career. But it's been something that's just driven me even more to prove that I'm the only one that can say no. I was told I couldn't be a regional president. I was told I couldn't be a retail director. And it's really exciting when you get there and you say, yes, I can. And by the way, I'm going to go even further when I set my new goal. So it definitely is goal setting. It's also making sure that you're in control of the yes or the no.
Well, that's a great attitude to have. And I find many CEOs have that. Where did you develop that from? Was that something that happened along the way, or did you have someone that helped you along with your philosophy and attitudinal focus on getting where you want to go?
I was helped along the way from birth with my parents.
That's great.
Both of my parents, specifically my father, definitely encouraged me to do whatever I wanted to do as long as I was doing the best. That's what they would say is, we're proud of you no matter what, as long as you do your best. And I've talked to him since then. We go back and we talk about this, and I say it only fueled me to do more, because if I came home winning a trophy or I came home with a good report card and I would hand it to my parents, my dad would say, honey, if you've done your best, I'm proud of you. And I would say, you're right, I could do better. And I'd go back and I'd try even harder. And that really wasn't even what he was trying to accomplish, but that's what he accomplished within
anyway.
Me. Yeah, exactly. So absolutely, that's where it comes from.
Well, I alluded in the beginning to a moment that shaped your future when you were given your walking papers, but it turned into another position. Tell us about that. What happened? That was kind of something you did and it turned into a positive move for you.
Yeah, it was during a time of acquisition as we became part of what is now known as Verizon Wireless. And it was an uncomfortable situation for many around. Many people were jumping off and just leaving and not waiting to see what was going to happen. I was offered a severance package to basically please stay for 6 months and transition your work over. And during that time, as everyone else was jumping ship, I kept taking on more and more responsibilities. So that when it got to the end and it was my day, my last day, I walked around and I did not know who was going to take the other jobs that I had taken on. And I walked around to the region president, who I had no idea knew my name. I thought it was just, you know, probably a good thing to let her know that it was my last day and I had no idea who was going to give her her monthly package anymore. And when I knocked on the door and she said, "Yes, Michelle," first I was surprised that she knew who I was. But second, when I said, "I just want to let you know it is my last day. I've received my severance package. I appreciate the opportunity to have been here this long. And I don't know who's going to give you your monthly package going forward, but here it is." And she said, "It's not your last day. Go have a seat and human resources will come see you." And I said, "Okay." But I still get that severance package because I already kind of signed the papers. And actually, it all worked out. The point was, I used my voice to say something, to make sure that it was known, versus just assuming everybody knew that this was what was going on. Had I not done that, I would not be here talking with you today, Steve.
Well, that was a moment that shaped your future. That was a moment also that changed Verizon Wireless's future in this region. So congratulations for doing that. But let's talk a little, finish up in the last minute or so about Verizon Wireless in here. Where is Verizon Wireless going in the region? What are you doing now for Verizon Wireless?
Well, currently right now, it's fourth quarter, getting ready for the busiest time of the year. We're definitely busy in our stores preparing. And why wait for Black Friday? We have great offers right now. We have free smartphones, $200. As long as you trade in one of your devices, we can get you set up with a free smartphone today. We have free tablets. We have an LG G-Pad available for you today. Walk in with a two-year contract, and we'll get you set up with that. We also have you add a line with us and you get free 10 gigabytes of data. So on top of your 10 gig plans that you have today. So that's what's going on for us right now with Verizon Wireless. It's a very busy time as we approach the holiday season and look for more exciting offers as we get to Black Friday.
And I would assume there's a lot of Verizon Wireless stores around the area for people to go to.
There are multiple stores around the DFW area for people to go to. So yeah, come on in, or you can also check us out online as well.
And what's the website online?
VerizonWireless.com.
Wonderful. Michelle, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve.
Michelle Miller, Region President of the Central Texas Region of Verizon Wireless. Thank you very much for listening. This has been a terrific show. It's been great having both of you on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.